It happened in the night when it was howling winds and pitch black, and somebody knocked on the door, and it was a local policeman. When I opened the door, he came to tell me and tell everybody else in the neighbourhood that the flood has entered on Canvey and we've got to evacuate. I could see what happened without him telling me, because I looked past him, I could see the water coming across the field. So what happened there, I got my wife and little boy, one lad, he was 3 years old, and she was heavily pregnant, and it, she, as far as I knew, she only had to go a week, and I thought, well, I've got to get her out of the house somewhere on the way. And by that time the water was coming up to the house, and I had a truck, like a builder's truck, transit truck, and then I pulled that round the front of the house, and I got a ladder and stretched it from the doorway to the truck, and I got her out and walked along the rungs of the ladder while I walked in the water holding her up, and I dreaded the thought of that ladder breaking, you know. But fortunately we got her into a truck, and then we went to God managed to get away to Benfleet, splashing through the water with the wheels, and up to St John's School at Benfleet, and that's where everybody was evacuated to. And while we were there, she said, well, I need some clothes. So I said, well, I'll go back. Where are they? She said, they're in the wardrobe on the top shelf. You shouldn't get any water in them. So I said, all right, I'll go and get them. So I went back to Canvey, walked all the way back there, and I found a canoe tied up to a lamppost at a pub called The Haystack. And so I undid this canoe, which had one oar to it, where you rowed each side, you know, one oar, one side, the same oar, had two paddles. And I tried to row it, I had difficulty in rowing this thing, and then a soldier across the road, he was isolated on his own. He said, you want some help? I said, I could do with some, and he came waddling across, and he jumped in the canoe with me. I couldn't canoe the thing, neither could he. And the canoe was gradually running into a bush, and we're trying to push ourselves away from the bush. And finally, I said to him, well, it's no good, we're not making any progress. You stop in the canoe, and I said, and I'm already wet, I'll get out and walk along. And which I did, it came up just past my knees, you know. And I pulled him along. Until we got to where I lived, it was a road named Lee Road. And on the bank, you could just see a little shrub of a tree sticking out of the water. And I said to him, look, I'm going to push you in that direction and see if you can grab that shrub. I know what's underneath it. I said, I know how far I can walk underneath it. You don't know, but grab that shrub and hold yourself there till I get to you. All right, he said. And he was successful. He did manage to grab it. And I waded through and got to him. Then I waded over to the house, and got some clothes in, which he said was on the shelf, which is right, and I wrapped them up in a Macintosh coat and put them in the canoe with him, but there was no room for me. So I said to the soldier, well, I'll push you back, see if you can grab that bush again, and I want to ride the bike. I said, she's got a bike, it's part of it's underwater, but I'll ride it. And so I've got a bike to use when I get up to the school. So I pushed him, and he managed to grab hold of the bush, and I got the bike, and I was riding through the flood on the road, which was beneath the water, but I couldn't see the road at all. But it was guided by the fact the people's houses, and I knew exactly where the road was. But there was a dip in this road. It wasn't a severe dip, but the dip went down a bit deeper, but but the level of the water would not indicate where the dip was. And I was riding this bicycle through the dip, and the water was getting higher and higher until it came up almost to the saddle. And I just come to a stop. It was becoming waterborne, you know, semi-waterborne. It lifted me up a little bit, and I fell off. And I went in the water, and it was freezing cold. And when I got up, I found I got all the dead white worms that came out the ground, and they were all over me, up my sleeve, down my neck, in my pockets, and up my trousers.
Really?
And I've got no idea. So the bike was submerged under the water, and I couldn't leave it there in case anybody was wading through. They'd fall over it. So I had to get down in the water a second time. And I managed to get the bike, and I lifted it up in the air, and I managed to sling it over somebody's fence and leave it there. And then I got come to the soldier and pulled him down to the haystack again, where I thanked him for his help. And
How did he help you if he's sitting in the canoe and you're pulling?
Well, he thought he could help me in the house, you see.
Oh, I see, right.
That's why he thought, but he couldn't do anything. He didn't know where things were in the house.
Oh, I see. Right.
So he was just a passenger more than anything else. Yeah. But it was a good job he was there, and I thanked him for what he did, and away he went, and I tied the canoe back up to the lamppost again. Somebody else waiting to use it like a queue. And then I waddled to Benfleet and walked up the vicarage, the Endway, Essex Way, to St John's School. And you know, it took me a long, long time to do that. By the time I got there, I was dry, no worms on me, no white worms stuck on, completely dry. And when I walked into the school, my wife was standing there with her hands on her hips, demanding to know where I've been for the last 4 hours. And words just simply fouled me, you know.
I'm sure they did.
I said, "There's your clothes." And it was a little while after that that the doctors came round looking at people, and they spotted her, and they sent her immediately to Rochford Hospital, which was open at the time. And the baby was born. Now, you want me to carry on with this?
Yeah, go on. Yeah.
And then I used to go and visit her when the baby was born, and the newspapers got hold of the story, the national newspapers. I've never seen a response like this, because I went there each night. I used to go there, and one night I got there, and the matron came to me. She said, "All these parcels keep coming here for your wife, and they're from the people all right throughout the country." Now, I had a van, a little short van, and it filled that van up with there was baby clothes and milks and dummies and teddy bears, and there was everything there for the baby, until I filled it right up, and then I still had to go back a bit more. She said, "You've got to get rid of them." She said, "They're in the passage. You can't put them in." She said, "In everybody's way." So I managed to find somebody in Benfleet with a dry garage and put them in there. Then we had three salesmen follow me around the school, wanted to give me a brand spanking new pram, a tan set, I think, or silver cross, or they were both. Yes. I think they wanted the publicity. That's what they were looking for.
Yeah.
And I said to them, "We don't need three prams." I said, "I've got one anyway." And I said, "There's plenty of other mothers with children and boom, boom." But nobody had the story like we did. And they said he was the first flood baby on...